Welcome, everyone, to Redacted on this Thursday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And we called each other and said, hey, what shirt are you going to wear tonight? And it was, it's Black Thursday.
It's his and hers.
It's his and hers Black Thursday because our kids go back to school tomorrow. So
it's
the
first school night of the year.
Celebrating.
You guys. They go off tomorrow.
Can't wait. Hey, we've got a busy, busy show for you. And yes, they are going to school. They are not staying home and doing virtual school, which is apparently what some people are actually pushing for. Hey, because this new variant of COVID's going around, flu, RSV, mask mandates coming back in certain areas, and new push to have people stay home from school and do virtual schooling. So again, lockdowns 2.0, we're going to talk about all of that and more tonight on the show.
Plus the story we brought you a little bit of yesterday, we're going to bring you in its entirety today. This is about troops in Ukraine captured prisoners of war who were fighting on the Ukrainian front, who say they're being given amphetamines and drugs in order to be able to participate in the horror that's going on there. And we have it straight from the mouths of some of these prisoners. And we have to see it. We have no choice. We should watch this. So stay tuned for that.
Also, a major coup in Africa, yet another major coup in Africa, throwing off the shackles of colonialism. Is Africa, I mean, a number of other countries in Africa also are trying to purge members of their military in out of fear that more coups are about to happen throughout Africa, throwing off neocolonialism, U.S. involvement, French involvement. We've got a lot to talk about tonight on the show as Redacted starts right now.
Welcome to this last day of August. Tomorrow's September. Kids go back to school. Hogwarts Express taken off. My middle child, our oldest daughter, was going to sleep. And I was like, middle school tomorrow, honey. And she, one tear, and she goes, I'm not ready, Mama.
I'm not ready.
And I was like, oh, my heart. But whatever it is that you're facing this fall, if it's a new school year, if it's new challenge, whatever it is, you're ready. Just like my baby girl. I hope you face it with bravery and I wish the best for you. You're not here to talk about my kids, though. You're here to talk about geopolitical news. You have tuned into the show where we talk about the things that the mainstream media largely ignores, angles of stories that are omitted from you. We look at it from all sides. That is our job. We have no agenda at all. We even cover things that make us extremely uncomfortable. That's why you're here, and we really appreciate it.
And we also try to give voice to those journalists, those independent journalists that perhaps have no home, who have been sort of outcast from mainstream media because they saw the corruption inside of mainstream media and went out on their own to cover important stories. So we have a couple of independent journalists on the show tonight. So when you support our show, when you subscribe to the show, when you smash that like button, it really helps to support independent journalism. So we thank you for your support. We do have a newsletter. This is another way you can support us, but this is totally free. And you can get it into your inbox first thing in the morning. And I think it's a great way to start off your day. About 7 a.m. Eastern time is when the newsletter publishes. And we cover about 4 or 5 of the big stories of the day, plus a couple of things you might have missed. And all you need to do to get the newsletter is go to redacted.inc. Not .com, just redacted.inc. Put in your email address, then you will receive a welcome email. It might go to your spam folder. Google labels us as dangerous. In fact, AT&T email servers labeled us as dangerous the other day, and our team had to notify them, there's nothing dangerous about our newsletter. We just tell the truth. Why are you labeling us as dangerous?
Oh, the truth is increasingly dangerous.
It's unbelievable. So anyway, it might go to your spam folder, that little welcome email. All you need to do is just confirm it, drag it over to your inbox, and then you will receive the newsletter first thing in the morning. So again, redacted.inc is the place to go to get that newsletter. All right, let's dive into your top story today. You know the saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. The groundwork is being laid for lockdowns 2.0. Some might even say lockdowns 3.0 at this stage because we had that respite between that first lockdown and then they doubled down on it, even though they knew that the data on lockdowns was terrible for children, terrible for families,
yes,
terrible for businesses. So lockdowns 2.0, lockdowns 3.0, it doesn't really matter. But there is now a renewed push for mandates, mask mandates, vaccine push, vaccine mandates. And I think if we, like Alex Jones has been doing an amazing job on this, if we shine enough light on this story, we can hopefully keep it from happening. We might be too late, though, because in many places, it's already starting to happen. Many schools are already rolling out mask mandates, hospital services, other healthcare providers already rolling out mask mandates, forcing kids to wear masks during class in school, like in New York. Watch.
COVID cases are on the rise across the nation and in our area, which means something many of us thought we'd seen the last of is back. Businesses, hospitals, even colleges, including one in our area, reinstating mask mandates. So will there be more to come as we head into the fall? And are people ready to be forced to mask up again?
Oh, yeah. When are you ever ready to be forced to do anything? Well, you know, honey, we're going to be next week. We got to start to be really think about this. We got to be forced to mask up again and get forced forced whatever they're going to shove down our throats.
Right. It's interesting that he's using the word forced, though, because the media sort of made it seem like, oh, but masking is for everybody. You really do want to do it because you love other people and you care about old people and all of that stuff, right? At least he's using the right words. It would be forcing again, given that the data, we're going to show you what the CDC says about masking in a second. This is not coming from them, surprisingly.
Yeah. So this is really kind of like deja vu all over again. The exact same pieces are starting to come together in a repeat of February 2020, when you had the New York Times, the Washington Post. I was going through the archival data from those news sources today and then comparing it to with their new news sources, new news articles today over the past few days from NPR, from New York Times, from Washington Post. All basically pushing this fear-mongering around this latest COVID variant, trying to get us all scared about it. News agencies across North America are rolling out the same experts to sort of push masking and vaccines again. They brought these people back on their air in a repeat, of exactly what they did in 2020. Watch.
With children returning to classrooms and with COVID, RSV, and the flu circulating.
Big breath.
Experts are preparing for a possible triple-demic, with this infectious disease specialist saying masks should make a return.
Particularly in a school environment or where I work at a university and some of the post-secondary institutions, I think whether you have a mandate or you have a strong recommendation for people to wear masks, I think that's reasonable.
Okay, that's what he thinks. Mm-hmm. Okay, keyword there, think, because what is he basing this on? It's actually not the CDC. The CDC doesn't even try to make the claim that masks prevent transmission anymore. Their website is heavy on the word may. Literally, there's no data behind it. Like if you go to the CDC, it says masking may prevent transmission, but there's no data there. The Epoch Times asked the CDC if they wanted to suggest mask mandates. Here's what they said. And it's interesting just how vague and noncommittal this speech is. A spokesperson said that, you know, hospital admission levels are currently low, and that the agency recommended that transportation workers, travelers, passengers, and others get the vaccine before they travel. That it says anyone may choose to wear a mask in crowded or poorly ventilated indoor areas. But then again, that's very heavy on your choice. The agency currently doesn't have any mandate in effect. And the CDC's advice for individuals and community around COVID are tied to hospital admissions levels, which are still low. They are increasing because we're heading into the fall. Earlier, a CDC spokesperson told NBC that there have been no agency discussions about mask mandates, which come as a handful of hospitals and offices around the country start imposing them. There's also been speculation that federal officials may bring them back, but the CDC hasn't issued any updated guidelines regarding mask mandates. So if someone tells you that they're going back to mask mandates, it certainly is not because of the CDC or the WHO, again, which is heavy on the maybe about masks, but no mandates. So this whole, like, follow the science, these are the authorities that even YouTube says now we must defer to for medical experts. They don't seem to be very bullish on the mask mandates. No, so this is just local authorities making decisions out of their ass.
Yeah, or because of pressure from, like, parent groups or something like that. I don't know. Or maybe the biopharmaceutical complex is trying to encourage these people that actually fund their campaigns. I mean, we showed you what was happening in Canada the other night with these protests, people going out and protesting because they want masks back in place. Could you imagine such a thing? they get a little taste of like tyranny, and they're like, yeah, give me some more of that tyranny. Let me go out. Let me ask for more of that. So if you're local, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and the unfortunate thing is a lot of people were fooled the first time because it was possible that it was true, right? I mean, a lot of people listen to the mainstream media for whatever reason. And I think the number will be smaller this time for sure of people that will comply, but there's still a large number of people out there that believe what they're being told.
Well, put a pin in what you just said, which is about fewer people this time may fall for this. And I think that this is a real concern, particularly from the White House and also from biopharmaceutical industry. The Biden administration has begun procuring COVID-19 equipment. They're already doing it and hiring advisors on safety protocols for COVID-19. This is what the Biden administration is currently doing. This is now confirmed, according to an exclusive report from the War Room. President, earlier this week, of course, you'll remember we played it here on the show, said that he'll have a vaccine ready to go in weeks and wants everyone to take the vaccine. The White House press team, though, this is amazing to watch the White House press corps. They are basically just stenographers for the imperial power that is the United States. The White House press team likes to be basically handing questions directly to the White House, like on a silver platter. It's almost like they've been like pre-fronted with these questions from the White House. Hey, can you guys educate Americans on how to take the vaccine? How are you guys going to do that? It seems like Americans aren't really ready to take this next round of vaccine. How are you, the White House, going to really educate Americans about the positivity of taking this vaccine? What are you guys going to do to really drive home that
that's
people need to get vaccinated?
That's just the wrong question. It's not like, why do you think that's necessary at all? That's the right question.
No, instead she asks, like, how are you going to educate people about taking the vaccine? So few people took it this last time with boosters. How are you going to really drive home the message to make sure people get this? Watch.
It's going to be available mid-September. The CDC data says that only 56 million Americans, 17% of the population, received the updated shot last year. What type of public messaging campaign or effort will the administration, the White House, be doing starting in mid-September to get people to get that shot, to get more people than last year to get that shot?
As you know, Karen, this is an issue that you have followed very closely for the past 2 years, and you have known that this administration, when it comes to informing the American people about these vaccines, about the different tools that this president and this administration has put forward, we have really put informing Americans as a priority. And so we'll continue to do that. We know that COVID-19 vaccinations are the safest protection for avoiding hospitalization, long-term health outcomes, and death. And that is why we are going to continue to encourage Americans to stay up to date on their vaccines. And so you'll hear more from us on that. And as you know, that is something when it comes to informing Americans, American families about about the vaccine, we certainly have been something that we've put at the forefront as we move forward with our comprehensive approach to dealing with this pandemic.
Yeah, it's okay, a big word salad. It's a big word salad.
Go to the White House with my boobs out if I'm a transgender person, but I better have a mask on.
Yeah,
right?
You can go naked to the White House now, but you have to wear a mask.
Excuse me, Kareen, David Foster, Redacted News. I'd like to. Is there any way you could possibly throw up the chart that shows the data that you're saying that it helps decrease death and hospitalizations and stuff? Could you please throw that up on the?
No, I cannot.
I've been very clear about
that. The president has said that he believes this is the case.
Our comprehensive approach about what this administration is doing. It's just a big word salad. And they're going to stand up there and continue to push this garbage on the American people. And we're going to, it's going to be interesting to hear what Congress has to say as they drag them before, hearings on this, because they're diverting American dollars right now, American tax dollars, for procurement, for getting equipment, for going to pay the biopharmaceutical company billions more for these new vaccines, Moderna and Pfizer, all ready to roll out their new vaccines. They have them ready to go. In the next few weeks, they'll be out. They'll be out churning these puppies out once again. The Gateway pundit previously reported that the Biden regime is preparing to reinstate full COVID-19 lockdowns. beginning with the mask mandates for TSA and airport employees. A number of people I spoke with today said at airports, they're seeing a huge increase in the number of people wearing masks, not only just travelers, but also attendants, TSA agents and so forth wearing masks at airports. Let us know in the chat. Are you seeing that as well in your travels? More people wearing masks. InfoWars was first to report on this just a few weeks ago about this plan from the TSA. Now, the White House is saying, no, not so fast. We don't have any plans in place for that. Okay, well, we'll just wait and see. And I think by shining a light on this, by really making sure that you are out there speaking out about you will not stand for this, can really force them to rethink their policy, make sure that they are not going to put this in place. So I hope that there's not a full-scale mandate in place. I hope that there's not some sort of full-scale push for vaccines, but we see where it's going, and state and local governments are already doing it. Texas, though, stamping their feet down, saying absolutely not. We're going to make it illegal for any kind of forced mandates here in the state of Texas. Good for them. I think maybe they learned their lesson from last time. But the new messaging, though, they are telling us about on television right now is that catching COVID a second time could be far worse. So you're going to start to hear this now. You're already starting to hear this. I've seen it pop up in a couple of places. I'm not going to highlight just one example here. But the next time you get COVID, it's going to be more severe. That's why, according to these experts, you need to get a vaccine. You might have gotten it once before. You might have gotten it once before, but now it's going to be more severe. That's why you need to get a vaccine this time. This is the new messaging. Go ahead. Watch.
Tick right now. According to the CDC's latest data, both hospitalizations and deaths are up about 21% in the most recent week of data. It's important to note that's off a low base, so it's still not as high as we've seen previously in the pandemic, but there is more COVID going around right now. Now, in terms of the risks people look at beyond hospitalizations and deaths, of course, there are things like long COVID, the risks of reinfection, and then, of course, if we remember early on in the pandemic, there was something that affected kids specifically called MISC. It was this sort of inflammatory response that could happen about 2 to 6 weeks after infection. The good news is that with vaccination and the built-up immunity, the risks of most of these things have declined. But there is still a risk of long COVID, perhaps less than 10% with vaccination, according to one doctor's estimate. In terms of reinfection, though, there are some studies suggesting that getting infected with COVID a second time can actually have a slightly higher risk of being more severe. So that is one reason that doctors say it's still not a good idea to be casual about catching COVID right now.
Who's casual about catching COVID?
Our pediatrician.
I mean, well, I don't understand what's casual about. You just live your life. You live your life. It's, you know, who's casual about getting sick at all? I don't want to get sick. I'm sick now. I don't like go out and be like, you know, I'm very cavalier about it.
No, because you have a man cold, my darling.
I do. I have a man cold right now. Yeah. You can see it in my eyes.
Yeah, but that also implies like, if being casual is just living your life, then they're literally painting the picture of you should be running around in fear.
Yeah, exactly. It's fear mongering. It's fear mongering. It's fear porn. Yeah. And that's why the New York Times, CNN, MSNBC, all of these guys are having like sort of wall to wall coverage right now of, including in every hour of their broadcasts is about this new COVID variant and being very worried about it. Basically, CNBC, MSNBC, you name it. They're all doing the same thing.
Well, because I think the reason she's saying like you shouldn't be cavalier about it is because, you know, in the last couple of days, we've had meetings with our pediatrician and general practitioner and mentioned that we had COVID in our family. And they literally were like,
who cares?
Yeah. If you're not really all that bad, there's not much, you know, we need to be worried about. You're going to get better. If you don't get better, then come back and we'll treat the symptoms. But they did not at all flinch at the message of COVID. The news media is saying that's the wrong response. What she fails to mention, though, is that vaccination is now a risk factor for new COVID. Here's the CDC's warning on the new sublineage BA.2.86, which we're calling, what are we calling it? Varola. Now, notice what we highlighted there. Let's zoom into that, saying BA.2.86 may be more capable of causing infection in people who have received COVID vaccines, meaning that vaccination is now a risk factor for infectious COVID. She didn't mention that, actually. She actually said more important to get vaccinated, which puts you at risk.
Huh.
Yeah. So interesting. No, she didn't say that.
Yeah. And I love her whole report centered around, she's like one doctor's opinion. one doctor.
Because you can always find some doctor, right?
Yeah, you could. I could call Peter Hotez right now and like get his opinion on any of this stuff.
Yeah.
I could call Dr. Scott Gottlieb, who's all over CNBC, who's on the board of Pfizer, who, by the way, over the past few days has been all over CNBC and CNN, by the way, and he's been pushing this new narrative about the vaccine and COVID. So again, this is why we need to be very, very careful. And it's a slow, it's like a little slow burn that suddenly
It's a
slow boil.
It's like frog in the pot.
But once the sort of horse is out of the barn, then it's hard to put the horse back in, right? Oh my God, we've got this RSV problem now. We've got this flu problem. So all these kids need to wear masks to school, mm-hmm. exacerbating asthma problems, pneumonia, behavioral issues as a result of it. President Trump has a message. He just released a message last night for COVID lockdowns and mandates. Here's what he had to say.
The left-wing lunatics are trying very hard to bring back COVID lockdowns and mandates with all of their sudden fear-mongering about the new variants that are coming. Gee whiz, you know what else is coming? An election. They want to restart the COVID hysteria so they can justify more lockdowns, more censorship, more illegal drop boxes, more mail-in ballots, and trillions of dollars in payoffs to their political allies heading into the 2024 election. Does that sound familiar? These are bad people. These are sick people we're dealing with. But to every COVID tyrant who wants to take away our freedom, hear these words: we will not comply. So don't even think about it. We will not shut down our schools. We will not accept your lockdowns. We will not abide by your mask mandates. And we will not tolerate your vaccine mandates. They rigged the 2020 election, and now they're trying to do the same thing all over again by rigging the most important election in the history of our country, the 2024 election. Even if it means trying to bring back COVID, but they will fail because we will not let it happen. When I'm back in the White House, I will use every available authority to cut federal funding to any school, college, airline, or public transportation system that imposes a mask mandate or a vaccine mandate. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, he's got some huevos because I just worry that that's going to be construed as inciting something. You know, he's already facing charges anytime he says something like that, because I don't know. Do you see where I'm going with this?
What, when he says we're not going to comply?
He says,
we're
don't
not going
comply,
to comply.
And then if somebody maybe gets violent about that, could we blame it? I mean, he is not facing equal justice under the law. We know this. Right. Yeah, whether you like him or not, he is not facing equal justice under the law. And
so they'll construe it a certain way.
That's what I'm worried about. If I were him, I would be. Well, I'm not. Right.
Yeah,
so
you're not.
Because I am afraid and he's not. So I'm like, oh, well, OK, but you already are in trouble. Do you see where I'm going with this? OK,
I do.
And I just want to share one other thing that concerns me is like when this first was starting, all they could talk about was mRNA. But you notice in this one, they're not saying what type it is. They're just saying vaccine. They're not going to say a single word about like probably what's in it or anything, because we were able to, you know, do research on mRNA when they said that. So this one is just oddly quiet about what it even is.
Yeah.
And that
concerns me.
Yeah.
Right.
What sort of trials has this been through? Again, I come back to, is it still under emergency authorization? Like President Biden. President Biden declared us that we're not in a COVID emergency anymore. So how do we have emergency authorization for these new shots?
Well, and also the FDA said that now the medication that I don't even know if we still can say that starts with an I, that is a viable solution now. You can use that. So the whole point of emergency use is if there's nothing else on the market that can work for treatment, but they have now said you can indeed use that for treatment. So therefore, they should not be able to get emergency use.
Right. Yeah. Great point. Yeah. Nothing else is available mysteriously, but it is. Go ahead, Philip.
Well, the emergency is declining profits for Pfizer on the COVID vaccine.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the emergency.
Right. Yeah. Exactly right. And that's a huge concern. We're seeing, of course, they're trying to figure out how can they increase profits by putting out this fear of long COVID, like that news reporter was just talking about long COVID. Like, oh, that's the fear now. It's long COVID or double severity. If you already had COVID once before, it's going to be even worse this time. That's the fear mongering.
Well, what do we know about this new strain, Virola? We're going to refer to a fellow YouTuber, John Campbell. He explains that we know next to nothing about this new strain. In fact, there is even speculation that it could be easier than previous strains. Watch what he says based on current available medical data.
Yeah, there's no evidence that it's going to be more transmissible than any other variant. And the fact that there's so many changes to the spike protein might mean it might not fit into the ACE2 receptor and may actually not infect cells very well at all. We don't know that yet. But despite this, UK government is panicking away and has announced these dramatic acceleration to the vaccination programs. And of course, in recent videos, we've looked at all the complications that go with vaccine, the high rate of adverse reactions. We've looked at, but of course, we're not saying there's any conflict of interest here, but we've looked at the revolving door phenomena and all sorts of things. And yet they want to bring this vaccination program forward.
All right. In fact, the World Health Organization has not yet classified Virola, this variant, as concerned. More research is needed to understand why the severity of this variant and its impact on public health. And in fact, John Campbell points out that what we do have from the British Medical Journal seems like it does not necessitate vaccination of entire populations. Watch.
There's no indication at all that it would cause more severe disease. It's the SARS coronavirus too, and we have a lot of cross-immunity. The British Medical Journal, but scientists do not expect it to be much different from the previous Omicron strains currently in circulation. I agree. So why all the panic? Very strange reaction. So President Biden asked Congress for another $1.4 billion to vaccinate everyone in the United States over the age of 6 months. The panic in the UK, you could argue, is probably a little less because we're only wanting to vaccinate the those more at risk and more concerningly healthcare workers, but yet a panic based on essentially no information at all. Strange but true.
But you know, the numbers don't lie, and as Philip pointed out, you know, Pfizer's profit right now. This is a big concern. Look at Pfizer. This is a year chart, year to date Pfizer profits.
Yeah, that's sad.
Oh my God. I have to go get vaccinated right now.
You better. Yeah, you need to do your part to help Pfizer. Look at this. Look at August 31st, 2023. Look how far down their stock price is right now. I mean, it's like half.
They did have a meeting. They did have a meeting where they forecasted a great fall for sales. Okay. Somehow they kind of know.
Did they really
have a great sales? Yeah, they did.
I mean, I guess they can always count on the fall, you know, when all the mainstream media does their bidding for flu season.
Yeah.
Right? It's always there for them.
Yeah.
There you go. Let us know your thoughts on this in the comments below. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for the COVID fear mongering, guys. Stand strong when they tell you about these lockdowns. You know, I saw somebody, you know, today say, making a great point, like, you know, go out there, join your local school boards, be a part of it and tell these schools, absolutely not. We are not going into lockdown mode. We are not going to go for mask mandates. It's absolutely devastating for our children. Share with them the studies that we've shared here on the show, the new updates on particularly how bad this has been and how toxic these things are. Share it with people so they are educated about it. And these people aren't just going blindly along like the sheep from the Pink Floyd song.
All right. Well, we have more news to get to. We're going to tell you about new attacks on the Donbass area in Ukraine. We also are going to bring you a report from prisoners of war captured in Russia that were previously commanders in the Ukrainian army and what horrors they have to share. Please watch and share this with your friends because you know, if you think you're supporting humanity by a Ukraine flag in your profile, maybe you need to understand what this means from both sides. So we're glad to bring you this report, and it's shocking. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at Factor, because if your school season hasn't started or it's about to start, you know that weeknight meals are about to really ramp up because it's back to school, baby. With the busy fall season just around the corner, you might be looking for some wholesome, convenient meals for jam-packed days, especially it's one of those days where it's like everyone has practice, so we're eating dinner either at 4 p.m. or 9:30. Does that ever happen in your house? So you need to make sure that dinner can happen. With Factor's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, it can help you fuel up fast with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track with your healthy lifestyle. And also, it helps take the guesswork out of meal prep when we order these meal plans. It's really great because we can order them around what we like to eat. We like to eat a more meat-based diet, but if you have something else, you can choose vegan, vegetarian, whatever it is, low carb, whatever it is you want. You can choose from 34 plus weekly flavor packed dietitian approved meals ready to eat in just 2 minutes. And then you don't have to think about, you know, okay, everybody, what do we want? Tacos on Tuesday, right? It just, no more meal planning, which is really, it's a drudgery, right? If you need an extra boost to support your wellness goals and feel your best for the rest of the summer, you can also try protein plus meals with 30 grams of protein or more. With Factor, you can rest assured that you're making a sustainable choice because they offset 100% of their delivery emissions, source 100% renewable electricity for production sites and offices, and feature sustainably sourced seafood in their meals. So right now, head to factormeals.com/redacted50 and use code redacted50 to get 50% off. That's 50% off of your weeknight meals. Again, that's the code is redacted50 at factormeals.com/redacted50 for your 50% off. One more time, factormeals.com/redacted50. Russia today says it has intercepted a Ukrainian commando team seeking to conduct sabotage operations in Russia's Bryansk region. Two Ukrainian servicemen were killed in a firefight and five were captured, including three who were injured. Something we've been asking ourselves on this show a lot is, how are Ukrainians talked into these missions, knowing their chance of success is so small? This is something that Redacted correspondent Mike Jones, who's in Russia, has been speaking to members of the Ukrainian army about. He's been speaking to members who were captured, who are telling us their experience, and he joins us today to discuss this. So thanks for joining us. Maybe you can give us a little background about how you're seeking out these interviews and what you're learning.
Yes, I will clarify that I, as a British citizen, I'm not permitted to interview these prisoners. The interviews that I've gathered are actually through Maria Levanova. She has her own Telegram channel, and she's the one that actually interviewed the prisoners. And being Russian-speaking, it's obviously far more comfortable for her to do so. She's recently returned from her trip to Donbass and has provided me with these interviews. We've translated and subtitled them. You mentioned about this almost suicidal raid in Bryansk, just one of many that we've seen. And this was one of quite shocking revelations that she discovered in talking to one of these prisoners who wished to highlight the use of amphetamines in the Ukrainian army and its effect on people. He claims that these are issued free of charge. They are being paid for, presumably, by U.S. tax dollars, or at least Western, collective Western countries' tax money. They are ordered to take these pills. They are in open packages, so there's no way of telling what exactly the substance is. They are ordered to take them, and then they proceed on their missions. He claims he is motivated to highlight this issue because of the amount of men that are dying as a result. He claims that they are ordered through minefields because one of the effects of these amphetamines is you don't feel fear and you do not feel pain. So he said many of his comrades would be wounded, but they wouldn't notice. And with the loss of blood, the heart will just stop after about a minute and a half, he claims. So in the context of these what seem to be suicidal missions and incursions into Russia, that kind of makes sense now how these soldiers. In this case, this was a man simply returning from his dacha, and he was just given a summons and sent to the front line. Another complaint he had, that many people have only held an automatic rifle four times before they're being pushed into the front lines, effectively drugged up and sent on to these missions.
That's right. So let's listen to him say that, and then we'll come back.
Виктор Леонидович. Сколько вам лет? 45.
Извините.
Извините?
Да. А вы давно в Крыму?
2 месяца.
А сколько времени на фоне ждать этого проекта?
Год и месяц.
Год и месяц?
Да.
А скажите, пожалуйста, вот я так понимаю, вы согласились рассказать о том, что есть такой момент, что украинские военные используют наркотические вещества.
Да.
Вот можете сказать, пожалуйста?
Ну, используется самое легкое, это конопля, то есть это...
Танки курич.
Да, это, ну как сказать, это как аспирин, ну, образно. То есть это самое легкое.
Это относительно безвредно.
Да. Потом амфетамины какие-то давали, такие, что, ну, ты выпиваешь, тебе болевой эффект.
Выдавались в какой форме?
Нам давали их уже открытые.
А, то есть вы не видели упаковку?
Нет.
Просто...
То есть ты выпиваешь, у тебя эйфория и...
А кто давал?
Страшно. Давал наш медик из батальона. То есть это все шло через него. Потому что...
Он выдавал как вот тебе пластырь, вот тебе аспирин, вот тебе от простуды, ну, вот тебе амфетаминчик.
Приехал, вот вы идете на позицию, скажем так, в боевуху, вот, перед боем выпить.
Так. А сами медики, то есть не то, что там кто покупал, их просто так выдавали?
Нет, а выдавали, никто ничего не покупал.
Всем?
Тем, кто шел на боевые.
Ну, то есть 100% количеству людей, которые идут на боевые войны, они получали в числе прочего амфетамин, как, я не знаю, часть аптечки?
Ну, в принципе, да, это часть аптечки шла.
И как это на организм влияло? То есть что происходило с человеком, когда он взял?
Ты не чувствуешь боли, как бы заниженный порог страха, и ты шуруешь просто.
То есть такой терминатор такой пошел?
Да.
The other claim that he makes is due in part to the lack of training that these Ukrainian soldiers are receiving. Of course, many of them are fearful and don't know what to do in the circumstances. As they have taken these amphetamines, that feeling goes away and they no longer fear the circumstances that they're being sent into, as we've seen in the offensive in the Robotyna in the south, where they just seemingly keep sending these men forward. This claim that he makes appears to make sense.
Неподготовленного запустить, чтобы он не боялся.
Ну это вообще какой-то совсем бесчеловечный все.
Ну, что было, то было об этом.
А можно было отказаться и сказать, я не буду это принимать?
Ну это контролировалось, то есть если уже знали, что по-любому это будет стычка, то по таблетке запили и вперед.
Я что хочу? Это было, тем не менее, добровольное было решение, я выпью таблетку. Или можно было сказать, я не буду и идти без нее.
Как бы нет. Это было принудительно.
One of the questions that Maria posed to this particular prisoner was, how did he end up at the front lines? He told her that he'd been captured for about 3 months, and prior to that, he had been returning to the city from his countryside residence, known as a dacha in Russia, to see his parents, and he was given a summons. He was stopped at one of the checkpoints on the way to his hometown and given the option, either sign the summons and go to the front lines now, or we send you to jail. So there really wasn't any choice for him other than those two options. He couldn't just go about his merry way or even appeal. These were the immediate options given. The other thing she asked was, if you were returned home, would you fight anymore? He said, no, I've seen enough. I've seen too much. I've seen how the commanders treat soldiers. I've seen the lack of equipment. And of course, he has described there how they are even being intoxicated, both with alcohol as well. He claims the first death in his platoon was a man who'd been drinking for an entire year and cirrhosis of his liver. The last thing she asked was a very important question. How did he feel towards the Russians? Did he hate them? And he emphatically said, no, we don't hate the Russians at all. And that's another reason why I don't want anything to do with this conflict.
That's awful. Now, another video that you wanted to highlight today was with a prisoner of war who said he was told to fire off ammo into fields in order to use it up so that the West would send more, to just keep this as an assembly belt. What can you tell us about this? And then we'll take a look at it.
Yeah, this was a very interesting individual. He was only identified by the battalion, the 14th Separate Motorized Brigade. His voice was changed and his face was blurred due to the sensitivity of the information that he was captured with. There's obviously a lot that the Russian authorities wish to investigate here, because most notably on his phone was a spreadsheet that he claims was provided to him by his Ukrainian commanders with notes in English about these targets and the coordinates for the artillery batteries to fire at. He claims he highlighted to his commanders that there were discrepancies in these notes, some of them claiming, for instance, that one would be a weapons factory. When he then investigated, it turned out to be an empty field. He queried this with his commanders, and he was told to sit down and shut up and carry on with the orders. The other notable aspect were many of these targets were in Russian territory, both mainland Russia and, well, let's call it contested Russian territory, as well as civilian objects. He explicitly stated he queried markets, offices, and schools. As he scrolls through, it's in Russian. Masha told me that it appears that some of these even have the agencies where these coordinates originated from, one being CIA.
Я военнослужащий 14-й отдельной мотострелковой бригады ЗСУ, которая дислоцировалась на Купинском направлении. В мои обязанности входила проверка боеготовности подразделений, находящихся на передовой. Попал в плен после того, как на наши позиции начали наступать российские военнослужащие. Покинуть эти позиции я не имел возможности в связи с сильным артиллерийским огнем. При моем осмотре был обнаружен телефон, на котором имелись различные фотоматериалы, распорядительные документы штаба. В частности, это были целеуказания для артиллерийских подразделений с пояснениями на английском языке. На регулярной основе украинское командование передает в наше подразделение ЗСУ координаты целей, полученные от американцев. При этом в ходе проверки этой информации неоднократно было установлено, что объекты поражения являются гражданской инфраструктурой. Это торговые центры, офисы, рынки и так далее. Либо это глубина территории Российской Федерации и никак не используется в военных целях. Мои попытки донести до вышестоящего командования информацию об имеющихся неточностях в целеуказаниях, либо необходимости проведения повторных аэрофотоснимков территории, остались без внимания. Вот телефон, в котором у меня более 1000 целей. А в основном это глубина России. Такие города, как Крым, Краснодар, Ростов, Курск. При проверке координат мы узнали, что очень много пустых целей, то есть несуществующих. Например, указан склад боеприпасов, а стреляли по каким-то полям, где никого нет и никогда не было. Я думаю, что американцы специально дают подставные координаты, чтобы у нас был большой расход боекомплектов. И мы в очередной раз запрашивали военную помощь у них.
Goodness gracious. But yet we're not told about this. Just today, that your story just markedly contrasts this Telegraph story published today, telling us that Ukraine is so successful with their drone attacks. We know nothing of these suffering of soldiers or wasting of ammo or attacks on civilians. We would know nothing if we were to rely on the Western media. What do you make of stories like this?
I read it with a wry smile. Opinion presented as fact for the most part from what I saw. When it tried to justify Russia's attacks on civilian populations, it was linked to the strike at Chernihiv, which was targeting high-ranking military personnel that had gathered there back in early August, I think that was, if memory serves correctly. It then tries to claim that Ukraine's strategy with drones is superior to Russia. It claimed that Russia lacks the air defenses to threaten Ukrainian aircraft at the front, which again made me smile slightly because I wondered where the Ukrainian Air Force has gone. Clearly, it merely evaporated as it approached the Russian front lines, if we're to believe the Telegraph. It then talked and downplayed the Russian drone strikes, which were in last autumn, last fall. It then said, oh, how Russia just attacking electricity in winter is of little consequence. Well, under General Surovikin, it brought the railroad, the electricity supplied railroads, to a halt. This very much affected the frontline operations of Ukraine because they weren't able to deliver Western supplied equipment and ammunition at that time. It then sort of makes one claim of, oh, well, one attack in Moscow against a residential building can be forgiven as it may have been retribution. The BBC then published a map of the strikes of Ukraine, both with sea drones and air drones, many, as can be seen, focused on Moscow. Yet this article claiming that Ukraine focuses on military targets. It then also talked about, well, following their Ukraine's attack on the Kerch Bridge, Russia retaliated by hitting port infrastructure. So it made no mention that, well, it didn't really highlight that, yes, attacking the Kerch Bridge was civilian infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And then goes on to say, well, Ukrainian commanders can't waste the moral high ground, which I also thought was a rather rich line there.
It's almost as if all of this we can poke holes on if we're paying attention, if we've been doing our homework. It's almost as if they just write the headline as they want it to be and then fill it with any kind of crap. Like, it literally could be a graphic design class in college where you just put Latin in there and it doesn't matter. And you
absolutely, and keep in mind the author was a former Department of Defense analyst. I thought for a UK publication having a US Department of Defense author or former analyst, I thought that did also show where this sentiment was originating from,
right? With no attribution in the title, so you would accept it as fact. Okay, well, thank you for bringing us a different side of this story today, as always, and showing us what you're able to find on the ground there in Russia. We appreciate it, as always. You can follow Mike Jones on Telegram and on other platforms, and always here on Redacted. So thanks again.
Thank you.
Unbelievable.
Yes, that's shocking.
It is like Nazi stormtroopers, like give them speed so they go full speed ahead, you know, load them up on amphetamines so they're just totally...
When did that happen in stormtroopers, to stormtroopers? Nazi stormtroopers. Okay, sorry.
Nazi stormtroopers, yeah.
I thought we were talking about Star Wars.
Not Star Wars.
Okay. No,
sorry.
Not Darth Vader.
I was like, is that fiction?
Natalie's like, what? Are you guys talking about the Force? Are you talking about the Force? What's the Force?
I didn't know anything about that. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Nazi stormtroopers. Yeah. Oh, not George Lucas stormtroopers. Okay. Yeah. They were given speed and, able to full steam ahead, right? It's awful, awful. So they're totally, totally desensitized to what they're doing.
I don't think I knew that either. Where did you read that about Nazis being given methamphetamines?
I mean,
it's actually a common war tactic in many countries.
Yeah, many, 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 many sources over the years. I mean, I've read so many stinking books on World War II history that I don't know how many. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's new to me, and I hate all of it.
Yeah. Well, taking playbooks from Nazis, it seems like a 2023 tactic these days. So,
right.
We've got more news to get to here on your Thursday. Yeah. In fact, we're going to talk about the civilians that are being attacked. That's another tactic that's being used in the Donbas region, in Donetsk specifically. A bloody week has unfolded there. We will tell you about those attacks, as well as what's happening in Africa, because President Obama's right hand man, the man that did all of his bidding in Libya, is under house arrest tonight in the country of Gabon. And that's right, he is being deposed as a military coup has taken over that country. Are other African nations about to fall? We will look very closely at what's happening in Africa.
That's right.
But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Black Forest Supplements. And right now, you can get 10% off those supplements by using the code REDACTED. So these guys are amazing, right? We're in an age right now where all of these forces are like trying to get rid of men, get rid of masculinity, make men weaker, more feminine. You see it all day long. This is what's happening. And look, if you wanted to like invade a country and take it over, I would first try to destabilize it by demoralizing and feminizing all the men. That's exactly what you do. I'd use hormone disruptors. I'd tell people to go get, you know, puberty blockers and use social.
We literally did a piece about how the U.S. Army is handing out hormones that they say will cause muscle loss. Remember, we called it, what did we call it? Super not so Philip came up with something.
Super not soldier or something like that.
Sub-soldier?
Sub-soldier serum. That's right. That's what we called it.
This is not a hypothetical scenario. It is happening right now. The forces that are trying to control us are using every tool at their disposal to make men weaker, villainizing able-bodied men. Like, oh, you're a man? That's a bad thing in 2023. And the fact testosterone levels have been declining for decades in the U.S., with a 17% drop among 60-year-olds in 2004 compared to 1987. Sperm count, strength in men, also decreasing exponentially. 32% decrease in men's sperm concentration in the last 50 years. You think that's not part of a plan? The good news is that we don't have to be victims. We can actually fight back. The solution is Black Forest supplements. Their supplements are created as our defense strategy. It's a carefully curated set of products designed to rebuild muscle mass, boost energy, weight loss, age with dignity, sharpen the mind, and even relieve stress. These aren't just supplements. They are a shield against the forces that seek to weaken us. And right now, you can get a 10% discount when you use the code REDACTED at blackforestsupplements.com/redacted. I trust them to stay, you know, use Black Forest supplements to stay strong, prepared, and masculine. You can arm yourself with this innovative product. 10% discount right now using code REDACTED. Go to blackforestsupplements.com/redacted. Don't let the invasion of feminization of men win. Reclaim your strength, stay prepared, and become the best version of yourself with Black Forest supplements. This is Redacted signing off. Discount codes are available. Redacted, 10% off. Use that code Redacted when you go to blackforestsupplements.com/redacted. By the way, there's a company that watches our show. It could not be more in alignment with us. So thank you for supporting independent journalism. Thank you for what we do here and understanding that this feminization of men is happening across the United States. So thank you for that. And thank you for your support.
They also know it's a masculine show. There's one girl.
There's one girl. And
she's buff.
That's right. Let us know in the chat. Are you male or female? Let us know in the chat. Are you man or woman? Let us know where and on Rumble, on YouTube. I'd love to be. I'd be curious. I know in our analytics, you know, more typically about 60% men, but you know, I'd love to see it. Just let us know tonight if you're man or female.
I'm still on the fence. So
you're still on. You're not sure who you are.
Oh
yeah.
You didn't like how your hair was looking today. You put on a hat.
Yeah, I had to throw a hat on because it was like. Was looking very masculine and I was feeling a little bit more feminine. Okay.
I wasn't having a great hair day either, so it was get back. I got you. I'm with you. Maybe I'm gonna wear a hat next time.
All right, well, let's turn our attention to what's happening in the Donbas in formerly eastern Ukraine, which has been under constant shelling for the past 9 years. A genocide has been unfolding there, of course. The mainstream media has been ignoring it for many, many years.
Oh, actually today I tried out Google Bard. And I was like, what is the conflict about in the Donbas since the 2014? And it told me it wasn't happening.
Oh, it told you it wasn't. Even Google doesn't think it's happening.
That's not true.
Well, I disagree. And so does Patrick Lancaster, who's an independent journalist and who filed this special report from Donetsk, which has just come under heavy attack once again, where a number of children have been killed. Watch.
Hello, Redacted. I'm Patrick Lancaster, and right now we are in Donetsk, the Kubashevsky district, on the area they call Pervy Pleshchatka, or the first section. And this is an area on the front line, the city of Donetsk on the very front line, bordering Ukrainian positions. And this village, or area, I should say, of the city, comes under daily shelling. Not long ago, there was... Between 2 and 3 children injured not far from here. We're going to try to walk. We've heard shelling already today. We're going to walk to the market where these children were injured. And we're going to talk to some people about the situation of how they were injured and what was the result. Because the fact is, Every day here, Ukraine forces launch on this civilian area of Donetsk, as they do many areas of Donetsk. This is a fact. Every single day, there are civilians injured or killed by Ukrainian forces. And much of this now is happening by the U.S.-supplied cluster bombs. We're here on the ground in Donetsk to show you what the real situation is, because the Western mainstream media won't show you.
Uh-huh.
Это где дети ранены, да?
Да, там детей ранило, да.
Ага.
Мальчика, мальчика одного ранило, а другого было с головой. Ну, как?
Ага.
Контузия.
Ага, понял.
Все, спасибо, хорошего дня.
Окей. Right. That was a little whistling incoming shell.
Давайте чуть-чуть вот подождем прилет. По-любому же будет еще.
All right, so that was an incoming artillery shell or mortar shell. We were inside for a bit, but possibly what's going to happen now is they're going to be correcting their fire. Now, what they're aiming at, who knows? Is it this civilian street that the children were injured? Are they aiming at this again or somewhere else? Hard to say. But we're going to check out where the children were killed or injured. Hopefully, it was just they were just injured. We'll find out for sure. Здравствуйте.
Здравствуйте. Скажите, прилет позавчера, да? И вот это вот осколки от него, да?
Можете сказать, что произошло?
Прилетел снаряд, сравнивается, вот Радина прилетел. Мы сработали.
Ага. Это был дети, как я слышу, да?
Дети, да, увезли в травматологию двоих. Одного контузия, двоих ранил.
Ага. So это был всего два, да? At least three.
Три.
Ага.
Ранил одного контузия.
Ага, понял. И сколько лет они?
9, 12.
Угу.
Вроде
15. И откуда это, откуда это стреляет?
Со стороны песок.
Ага, и песок это украинский, да?
Да.
Ага, и как вы думал, почему украинский стреляет тут на рынок?
Они везде стреляют, что только на рынок.
Да? И как, почему они сделали это?
Потому что не знаю. Захотели.
Ага. Может, они думали, это военный объект?
Может, и думали. Да.
Думали, это реально или?
Думаете, они реально так думали? Или...
Ну, не знаю, нет. Я не знаю, что у них вообще говорили.
Ага. Понял. Спасибо. И именно где мы находимся сейчас?
Первая площадка.
Угу. Кубышевский, да? Донецк, да? Угу. Спасибо.
Снимали это дело, да. Как раз мы еще так.
И как я понимаю, это Брина, как магазин, да?
Магазин, ветеран.
Ага. Можно внутри, да? Здравствуйте. Можно?
Не надо фотографировать.
Ага, хорошо, хорошо.
Я старая для этого самого, для
съемки. Хорошо, хорошо, не надо. Но это был позавчера, да?
Да, позавчера в 20 минут седьмого.
Ага.
Ветер.
И тут только гражданский, да? Войны нету, да?
Не было.
Здравствуйте. Можно вопрос, пару слова? Это твой магазин или...
Нет, мы здесь работаем.
Работа, да? И что произошло позавчера?
Позавчера произошел обстрел в первой площадке, и один снаряд упал перед нашим магазином. И последствия этого прилета у нас такая
беда. Ага, и слышит, три дети ранены, да? Ага, и как вы думал, тут магазин, почему Украина стреляет здесь?
Ну, потому что война уже идет
И вот, несколько минут назад, может, 5 минут назад мы слышали взрыв.
Да.
И что это было?
Тоже прилет. Вот дом пострадал напротив.
А, вот только вот, да?
Ну, это было, ну, несколько, может, неделю назад.
Не, вот 10 минут назад мы слышали.
А, ну, тоже прилет.
Ага.
Они на все время.
А, с самого утра. Каждый день, да?
Сегодня примерно где-то с 7 утра мы начали слышать прилеты.
Ага. И как вы знаете, это украинский?
Ну, со стороны летят, оно уж слышно, откуда летит снаряд.
Угу, понял. И именно где мы находимся сейчас?
Первая площадка, админпоселок, угу. Куйбышевский район.
Пока. Это был попал там, и это с осколок от вчера, да?
Все было обшито, это уже снято.
Еще вопрос. Есть военный объект возле здесь или нет?
Нет.
Ну, если нет военный объект, почему украинские стреляют здесь?
Потому что ему Америка дает оружие.
Да?
Да. Убивать нас, русских людей.
Угу. Вы сказал русский, но вы местный, да?
Да, местный.
Но с Украины и США сказал тут Украина.
Донбасс русский.
Да?
Да.
Почему?
Потому что люди сами приняли такое решение.
США еще?
Народ сам принял такое решение.
Да?
Украина это не воспринимает, поэтому у нас это происходит.
Ага, вы говорили о это референдум на 14 и тот же год назад, да? Да, два референдума. Угу, понял. И на 14 вас выбора за уезжает Украина, и на год назад выбора за место в России, да? Угу. И как вы думали, это референдум был честный?
Честный.
Угу, понял.
Как... Хотя бы на 70% точно.
Угу. Но США и Европа и Украина сказали, это не был честный.
Ну, а кто будет это воспринимать? Конечно, им выгодно так сказать.
Mm-hmm. Понял. Спасибо, извини. Okay, just across the street from the market, we see there is an impact, like they said. Oh, okay. Oh. Direct hit.
So we've shown you everything we can here on the ground in the Kubyshevsky district of Donetsk. You've seen where the children were injured. You've heard from the workers that are fixing the damage, the ones that are out of work because of the damage. You see what they have to say about why Ukraine is attacking the civilian areas, why this war is going on, what the people of Donetsk want. The people of Donetsk voted to break away from Ukraine, as she said, voted to join Russia. This is a fact. 2014, they voted to break away from Ukraine. 2022, in September, they voted to join Russia. I was here for that referendum, both of them. I reported on them, showed what I saw with my own eyes, as I always do. We've seen more damage here. It's not even clear exactly when this happened because every day there's more damage here and there. But this is just one street where there's many shells. And we even saw or heard a shell coming down, heard the whistle coming down today, as you saw. So we're just doing everything we can here on the ground in Donetsk, showing you what the mainstream media ignores or just flat out lies about. So we've got a lot more to come here on Redacted. And of course on my channel, Patrick Lancaster.
All right. Thanks, Patrick. Thank you, Patrick, for that great report and to hear from the people who are being shelled continuously in the Donbass and who say, no, we are Russian. We are not Ukrainian. We've been Russian. They know that. They know that we're Russian. And if they would have adhered to the 2014 Minsk agreements, we wouldn't have this. But the continued shelling of these civilian areas and children being hit in this attack. And you can hear the shells ringing down just while they're there as well. Really, really awful.
Even though, like I said, Google Bard tells me there's no evidence of that happening, of Ukraine attacking those areas.
Trust Google.
So Google Bard is the ChatGPT competitor And I was allowed into that today, and I was like, okay, now I know what I'm up against. So
yeah.
That's what happens when you ask Google for reality.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about what's going on in Africa and the coup there. We will do a deep dive on that and what it means for French troops that are stationed there, as well as the French intervention in Africa and the United States interests. Victoria Nuland recently, over the past few days, has traveled to Africa and apparently desperate. Those are the words being used to describe Victoria Nuland's trip to Africa, because you're starting to see Western hegemony collapsing right before our eyes, and we're going to dive deep into that. But first...
First, we want to tell you about our friends over at Lear, because if you're tuned in, it's no secret. You know that experts are predicting a recession heading our way. In fact, recently, Warren Buffett even said he sees a recession on the horizon. Layoffs are already happening. The government is ready to print more money, further devaluing the U.S. dollar. While last year was terrible for most investors, 2023 could be even worse. That is, unless you were smart and invested in gold, then you were protected from loss while other investments fell. Unlike the U.S. dollar, gold cannot be printed more of. It can only be mined, and there is limited resources. So if the experts are right and we do get hit with a recession, 2023 is looking even better for gold and silver investors. So if you are interested in investing in gold, then Lear can help you start purchasing precious metals or converting part of your IRA or 401k into a gold and silver IRA. You can call Lear Capital today at 800-613-3557 or go to LearRedacted.com. Right now, if you buy 1 ounce of gold, Lear Capital is giving away a free ounce of silver. That's incredible. It's free silver you can keep or sell or do whatever you want. It's yours. There are a lot of gold companies to choose from, and Lear Capital has over 25 years of experience, thousands of five-star reviews, and a risk-free guarantee that gives you 24 hours to review your purchase before committing to it. Lear Capital is a top choice when buying gold and silver. So call them. Call Lear at 800-613-3557 or go to LearRedacted.com and get your free gold and silver investor guides and receive up to $15,000 in free bonus metals with a qualified purchase. One more time, to learn more, call 800-613-3557 or go to LearRedacted.com.
All right, let's talk about Africa. And the dominoes of Western power are falling all over Africa this evening. The fourth Western-controlled African country is in the middle of a military coup to topple its corrupt Western-backed leaders. And other African nations are today purging their ranks for fear of coups sweeping through other countries in Africa. We'll get into that here in a moment. The country that we're talking about today, though, is Gabon in Western Africa, a neighbor of Congo. Here it is on the map, right there on the water, right there hugging the coast. France, of course, colonized Gabon in the late 19th century. It ruled until about 1960. And during that time, of course, France exploited Gabon's natural resources. After it stopped ruling, it still continued to pilfer its resources. They picked their own president to lead that country. He was a puppet of France since the 1960s. The family has been a puppet of the West since the 1960s. Gabon has been under one family leadership, which is still controlled by France as a neo-colonial puppet. And over the past 24 hours, a military coup has unfolded. It's Brice Oligui Nguema to be the new leader of Gabon after ousting President Ali Bongo. The former president's family has been in power in Gabon for 55 years. Here is General Brice. You can see him being hoisted up there by his soldiers. The ousted president released a video. Now, it should be very clear, the video you're about to see and the president you're about to see, who's under house arrest, it looks like a little weak man now sitting there. This is Obama. This was Obama's like really close ally. He was the man who did his bidding in Libya for him, helped to destabilize Libya. He's been a puppet of the United States and France for years. And he's stuck in this presidential residence right now, releasing this video. He almost looks like President Biden. He doesn't know what's happening. He doesn't know what's going on. And he's asking for people to make noise. Watch.
I'm Ali Bongo Ondimba, president of Gabon, and I'm to send a message to all the friends that we have all over the world to tell them to make noise, to make noise. For the people here have arrested me and my family. My son is somewhere, my wife is in another place, and I'm at the residence. Right now, I'm in the residence and nothing happening. Nothing is happening. I don't know what's going on. So I'm calling you to make noise, to make noise, to make noise, really. I'm thanking you. Thank you.
Yeah, so to all my people out there who I've kept in poverty for years and enriched myself with the backing of France and the United States and pocketed millions of dollars, I'm calling on all of you, the people I've kept in poverty for so many years and given your resources away to France and the United States. I'm calling on you, good people. I'm calling on you, the good people like Bane and Batman. You, the good people of Gotham, rise up, make some noise for me. For me, make some noise for me, your little cowardly president. Oh, the people took to the streets, but they're not making noise for him. They're making noise for this coup d'etat. Watch. Now,
that is noise.
Now, this
they're,
is a,
they're making noise.
They're making noise. Now, this is a cautionary tale, of course. We all remember, you know, you think about Amin and other military dictators. So, you know, okay, now you have a military coup. That's not the end of the story by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
This is just the beginning of the story. So let's temper our celebrations for a moment. What are they celebrating? Down with corruption. Down with President Ali Bongo. Who's long been considered a puppet of the West, a well-known puppet of the West. Obama could get him right on the phone to do his bidding, making millions of dollars from the United States and France while keeping his country in poverty. That we know. Suitcases and bags filled with bundles of banknotes, CFA francs, dollars, euros were found in the son, the chief of staff of Noureddin Bongo, which is the eldest son of the deposed president Ali Bongo. So they found just piles of cash, piles of U.S. dollars and CFA francs and euros. Take a look at this. Payoff money. Suitcases. When I get my cash delivered, I like it to be in large duffel bags. Suitcases shipped right to my door. Keep doing our bidding. This was all found in his house. Where's his son? Oh, his son has been grabbed, arrested for treason. Treason for selling out the people of Gabon. Yeah. Take our bribes. Allow us to keep stealing your minerals, basically. That's exactly what this money is. It's blood money. You'll be rewarded handsomely for it. A number of French leaders have admitted that without stealing Africa's resources, France would slide into being a third world country. Here's an article from the Global Times. This article is over 10 years old. And it quotes how both former French President Jacques Chirac and François Mitterrand admitted that, quote, without Africa, France will slide down into the rank of a third world power. Yes, both Jacques Chirac and François Mitterrand had made that prophecy. Without Africa, France will have no history in the 21st century. Without Africa, without pilfering its resources, France would be a third world country. Imagine that. Just think about how Africa could rise up and look like Norway, right? A mineral-rich area just like Norway that exploded in popularity and cost and living. What am I trying to say?
Because of oil and gas discovery in the North Sea in 1969.
But not cost of living. I'm trying to say quality of
prosperity.
Life.
Prosperity.
Prosperity, yes.
GDP explosion.
GDP, exactly. France, just as an idea here, now you know why France is freaking the hell out. France controls the pumping of Gabon's oil, and the uranium goes right into France in order to help them build nuclear weapons.
Or nuclear reactors for the nuclear power plants that France doesn't want to use anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So that uranium that's there in Gabon goes right up to France. France simply lined the pockets of the president, giving him millions of dollars. And this relationship has enriched this family for 55 years. And of course, the Bongo family controlled the presidential palace under the watchful eye of the United States and France and other Western leaders. France has 110 companies in Gabon. The U.S. extracts over half of its oil. And nearly half of the country lives in abject poverty. How does that work? An oil-rich nation, a mineral-rich nation, just like Norway, except utter poverty thanks to Western control. Perhaps not any longer, though, because the country is wildly rich in manganese, diamonds, gold, uranium. Minerals are so important to the country's economy that the entire economy revolves around the country's mining industry. The country is rich in timber, by the way, just like Canada. The amount of timber this country has is phenomenal. Billions of barrels of crude oil reserves. So no wonder Western powers like France and the United States are scared shitless at the prospect of Africa kicking out Western influence in Niger and other countries.
And actually raising their standard of living based on their own resources.
Right. And aligning with the BRICS nations. At the Africa summit a few weeks ago, President Putin saying, "We want you to keep your own minerals. You should be able to enjoy your own sovereignty and make partnerships that keep you safe and secure, not be raped by the West." So Africa's lining up some new friends these days, and tired of being bullied. And I want to just show you here the amount of crude oil reserves in Africa in 2021 by country. Just leave this up on the screen here, and I want to see if anything jumps out to you here. Look at the names of all of these different countries. And then I would love for you to do just a simple Google search to see how the United States has destabilized or placed troops or is basically raping the minerals of these countries. The list is pretty exhaustive. All of these countries have some sort of Western meddling involved in them, do they not? No one bigger than Libya, which totally destabilized, and the United States, of course, assassinated Muammar Gaddafi. So look at this list. It's unbelievable. And of course, Gabon worked lockstep with President Obama to totally destabilize Libya. It's interesting, right? When your friends stop helping you. Look at this chart. It's unbelievable. And then you have demon, of course, Victoria Nuland, who is, I think, a walking demon, was just in Africa to panicking over this Niger coup. And according to the Gray Zone, she was panicked and desperate. Desperate. Victoria Nuland. I love seeing her desperate.
Yeah, she is Dolores Umbridge.
She is. According to a veteran South Africa official who attended meetings with senior U.S. diplomats in Pretoria, however, Nuland and her team were demonstrably unprepared to grapple with recent developments on the African continent, particularly the military coup that removed Niger's pro-Western government hours before she launched her multi-stop tour of the region. "In over 20 years working with the Americans, I have never seen them so desperate," the official told the Gray Zone, speaking on the condition of anonymity. Desperate. Love seeing her desperate. Of course, though, desperate people do desperate things, very dangerous things. Look how the BBC portrays, though, this uprising, this coup in Africa. Africa's coup pandemic, they're calling it a pandemic, spreads with Bongo's downfall. This is how the BBC frames this, that it's a pandemic that people are rising up to throw off the shackles of colonialism. Okay. It's a pandemic. It's really bad for them. Or is it just bad for you in the UK, the home of the BBC, and France? So will France slip into being a third world nation as the result of losing all of these resources and uranium and oil reserves and all these other minerals, manganese and timber that they so heavily rely on? Time will tell, but we're going to keep our eye on this and these other African nations, which are now starting to purge their ranks to make sure that there's not military leaders, perhaps, who are thinking about overthrowing their leadership as well.
Right.
So there's fear running through Africa tonight.
So now it remains for us to watch who are the alliances, right? Because will ECOWAS decide, oh no, this is not acceptable. This is the bloc there that is Western backed that has been speaking out against Niger and saying, oh no, you need to return the country to the previously deposed president. Will they speak out about this? We know that already the United Nations has condemned this coup. In Gabon, we know that the U.S. has. We know that the United Kingdom has. Why will they say that they condemn this coup? Is it because they're speaking for democracy? Is democracy one family in power for 55 years? Will that be the reason that they give us? So we'll watch. Is this a spreading? I wouldn't call it a pandemic. A spreading ethos of decolonization, where Africa now takes it seriously and says that our resources should go to enriching our population. Is that true? Or is that overly optimistic? It's time to watch these things seriously now that we see this movement.
We're also seeing...
Did you guys watch The Crown by chance?
Oh yeah, love The Crown.
So remember like how important Africa has been all the way back then? Like the Queen literally went to Africa to save that relationship. And that's how important it has been to the West for all these years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because to have, you know, it's the thing. It's like, why is Africa not stronger? Why is there not some sort of an African EU or where trade is easy among African countries? It's kept that way on purpose by the West.
Right.
Right. So that Gabon can't easily trade with Congo, its neighbor. Why is that? Because the West tells them not to. But why are they telling us not to? Why are we not allowed to trade with our neighbors? Oh, because France doesn't want us to trade with a country that this is how they keep you under the thumb. They also don't want Africa to industrialize. They want Africa to basically skip that step. The Western countries were able to do that and enrich themselves. Germany, Europe, the United States was able to industrialize in a large capacity. They want them to basically skip that step and be a third world nation that jumps right to using solar power. And skip all of the industrialization process, and we're going to watch you do it. So, yeah, it's amazing to watch Africa right now. I think it's really a story that needs more attention in the Western media. But they won't cover it. They'd rather talk about Trump's indictments. So we will cover it here on this show. We're also going to cover Haiti in a moment, because Haiti, like Gabon, like the rest of Africa right now, is being watched very closely by the United States and the United Nations. And they would love nothing more than to keep Haiti destabilized so they can also pillage their resources in the country of Haiti. We'll cover that. Dan Cohen is in Haiti and will bring us a report from there. And we're going to do that in just a second. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at Moomoo, because if you're an investor looking for an easier way to trade stocks and you'd like 20 free stocks, I'm sorry, 16 free stocks. Yeah, 16 free stocks right now. I don't know why I said 20. I got 20 on the brain. But hey, 16 free stocks is pretty damn good. And with Moomoo, our favorite trading platform, there's no steep learning curve. It has a simple interface, easy to use, so even beginners can take advantage of the stock market in no time. And by the way, today is August 31st. So right now, this offer of 16 free stocks is good until tonight. So take advantage of it. If you've been on the fence about opening a free account with them and making your initial deposits, again, you can treat it like a savings account. You never have to do anything else with this account. You just open the account and you get these free stocks after you make your initial deposits. And you can trade stocks if you want to. You can invest in minerals companies like I do. You can set alerts and study. They've got great charting capabilities. They also have like a university built into the application, so you can study and learn how to trade inside of the application. And Australia has all sorts of extra bonuses right now. They have opened up their Australian market, so you can go to Australia. If you're in Australia, you can open up your Moomoo account as well and get some nice bonuses there as well. They've also opened up in Canada. So they've added Canada, Australia to the Moomoo market. They have zero commission trades. The app looks amazing on every platform, from iOS to Android to Windows and Mac. Moomoo can help you trade with its advanced tools, and they do so many great things like their earnings calendar and everything else. So you need to use the link on your screen in order to get those 16 free stocks. Go to redacted.inc/Moomoo. Again, the link is redacted.inc/Moomoo. to get your free stocks and start trading today. Over the past 24 hours, the United States Embassy in Haiti has told all Americans to get out. Why now? The timing of this is very interesting as the mainstream press continues to push this narrative that Haiti is destabilized and therefore needs an outside intervention to keep it afloat. Dan Cohen, redacted correspondent, is in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, with the very latest on that. Dan, good to see you. So the timing of this is very interesting.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, Haiti is in a sort of permanent crisis that we hear very little about in the media. Yet all of a sudden, yesterday, the U.S. Embassy says all Americans should get out, catch the first possible flight, make arrangements to get out of this place. And it seems that they're trying to destabilize, to project destabilization in order to justify the intervention that they're seeking to get approval for at the UN Security Council. Just last week, the U.S. State Department with military personnel were shepherding around a contingent of Kenyan police officials and Kenyan diplomats to plan out a possible intervention. But the main headline that's being used to promote this intervention, the main incident, happened on August 26, where there was a massacre in an area called Canaan. And what happened is a guy named Pastor Marco had his followers go out into the street in order to confront heavily armed gangs. And they just had machetes and sticks and stones. And he sent them out there like sitting ducks. And what happened is they were shot at and killed. Which is completely predictable. So you have to ask, why did that happen? There is a lot of speculation from people we speak to on the street, the general populace, who think this may have been essentially a stage-managed massacre, that he sent them out in order to have a massacre, that the government may have even been involved, that it goes to the highest levels in order to get to justify this intervention, to project destabilization. And then as the fallout from that massacre goes on, then we get this call from the embassy. There's now an article from a guy named Tim Padgett saying that this massacre now shows, you know, why there has to be a foreign intervention. So it's almost like clockwork how this all works. But at the same time, here on the ground in Haiti, yes, the situation is bad. There's poverty, there's suffering, there's hunger. But that's the status quo here. It's been that way for years and years and years, and we never hear anything about that from the U.S. media. But the fact is, there is a peace that's actually breaking out. There's peace breaking out between the armed groups. Yesterday, my colleague Kim Ives of Haiti Liberté and I spent a good portion of the day walking through neighborhoods that were previously completely inaccessible because of fighting between rival armed groups. And we sat down with two leaders of these rival armed groups that have made peace, namely Jimmy Barbecue Cherizier, who is really the top target of this U.S. Intervention that it's seeking to get through the U.N., and the leader of the rival neighborhood of Bel Air, whose name is Toto Alexander. And so these two, who were formerly rivals, are now sitting down and talking about why they have to unite in order to bring peace to the neighborhoods and why they don't want a U.S. intervention. They don't want a foreign meddling, anyone coming into their country. And there was a massive crowd. We're going to show this reporting in our upcoming redacted special report. But what you won't really be able to see is there's a huge crowd of people surrounding us who support this message. So this is what's completely hidden in the mainstream media, that there's actually peace, a fraught peace, the very beginnings of peace. But this is breaking out in the poorest neighborhoods where the media tends to ignore and won't venture into unless they're going to, you know, do a hit piece saying these are gangs that have to be taken out. So that's the real story here.
It's amazing when you shared that photo with me offline to see Barbecue sitting there, you know, side by side with a former rival saying, we do not want U.S. intervention, coming together. That's an amazing moment. And you're seeing, I think, a reflection of this throughout Africa, African countries, of course, overnight in Africa, more coups as other countries across Africa are saying, purging their ranks to make sure that their, you know, Western-backed coups don't take hold in their country as well. So I think you're starting to see this awareness that this U.S. meddling, this U.S. Raping of resources, this U.S. Keeping people down in order to destabilize these countries will not hold. It was a remarkable photo. It's a remarkable moment that these guys are able to sit there side by side saying no to the U.S. I guess that's the one thing that they could all agree on. That's the one common, right. Commonality.
Right. And, if you look at it's an important point that you bring up, Clayton, about this sort of similar pattern happening in the neo-colonies in Africa, particularly in the French neo-colonies. And one of the, I think, the key threads looking at U.S. policy between Western Africa and Haiti is what's called the Global Fragility Act, which is a piece of U.S. legislation passed in 2019 by Congress that basically seeks to shore up control, U.S. control of these regions, of these countries, in order to keep Russia and China out, to keep these in the grip of the U.S. And the first six countries that are listed in this Global Fragility Act, which is heavily a military operation, Haiti is the very first, and then several countries in Western Africa, which were not the Francophone countries, but Benin, Togo, several countries like that are also listed there. So you have to wonder if the U.S. considers Haiti as well as those countries fragile, and at the same time we're seeing these popular revolts and military coups in the Francophone countries that are right next to them, the U.S. recognizes what's going on and is very desperate to stop it, and has been seeing this years in the making. So Haiti, throughout history, Haiti has always sort of been the vanguard. Its revolution began the collapse of chattel slavery worldwide, and it was the forerunner of all of the pink tide governments in Latin America in the early 1990s. And so it seems that it's once again playing this vanguard role. And so it's really a fascinating moment down here, peace breaking out as the U.S. is gearing up for some kind of intervention.
Yeah, the timing of it couldn't be more mysterious. The United States, peace starts to break out. The United States warns all Americans, get out now. Something is definitely afoot. Dan Cohen is on the ground in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, right now, to tell it like it is. The reality of the situation there is going to be filing multiple reports and a special report for Redacted coming up. Dan, stay safe. Thank you so much to you and Kim for your great reporting down there. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Clayton.
And our thanks to Dan for that report. And as Dan just mentioned there, we are working on a much bigger report, a special report on Haiti that will be coming out very, very soon. Dan's had some amazing interviews and interactions with the people of Haiti. Again, such an important story that's getting zero coverage in the mainstream media, so we're glad to be able to provide that for you here. And again, thank you guys so much for supporting independent journalism. All we ask is that you subscribe to the channel, which is totally free, and you can hit that like button. If you're on Rumble, you can hit the follow button and do the same. It really helps to push us further out into the algorithm and get the message out about these very, very important stories. So thank you guys so much for joining us on this Thursday night. Thank you guys for being attentive and always, always engaging. We really, really love it, and we love your interactions. So thank you guys so much. We'll be back on Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. We'll have multiple reports out over the weekend as well, so be sure to tune into those. Again, 4 p.m. Eastern time on Monday. We hope you all have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you then. Bye.